Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me on the program is N.L. Snowden. She is the author of the new book, In and Out of Madness. N.L. Snowden is actually the pen name for Dolores Jordan. Dee used to make her living as an artist, and after returning to college for her master's degree in elementary education, pioneered many new teaching solutions for the students in the lowest quartile. Her hobbies include gardening and drawing. As an author, Dee has had many articles on mental illness published in New York City Voices, and a monthly article on being a newly published author in the Christian Media Association's newsletter, Active Voice. She's had her short story, Know Who You Are Dealing With, published in an e-zine titled Free Fall, along with a monthly article on writing for the same magazine back in 2007. Her short story, In His Hands, won first place in the Baldwin County Writers Group in 2009. And her story, The Grinch Who Didn't Steal Christmas, was published in 2008 in an anthology titled Christmas is a Season. And this year, her short story, The Burning of the Yule Log, was accepted to be published in the 2009 version of Christmas is a Season. And so you can find out more about N.L. Snowden, a.k.a. Dee, and her book, In and Out of Madness, at inandoutofmadness.net or sneakaboardpress.com. And so welcome to the show today, Dee.
Hi.
Hi there. Well, so tell us why you decided to write In and Out of Madness under a pen name.
Well, the story is a fictionalized account of a true event, and I've changed names and places and some circumstances to protect people. So I've used a pen name to really protect the people that are involved in the story.
Mm. So where did you hear about the actual true account of the story that you tell?
It's actually a little bit autobiographical.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been things have been changed, and it's been embellished a little bit, and, you know, just to make it into a novel.
Mm-hmm.
I changed some things just to make it flow and read better.
Mm-hmm. So how long had you been thinking about this book and really sort of putting your life experience out there in a novel form?
I worked on this book for 5.5 years, and I took 77 rejections and half-heartedly submitted to Sneakerboard Press. Didn't think I had a chance. And then they took me on number 78.
Oh, God. You got to have thick skin as a writer, don't you?
Yes. And what's really funny is I had arbitrarily set a date of August 2009. If the book wasn't published, I was going to publish it myself. And I signed my contract with Sneakerboard Press on July 31st, 2009.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yes, that's what you call taking it to the wire.
Yeah. That is, I'm so happy you found a publisher. That's great. And this is your first book.
Yes, yes.
It must be amazing to have it in hand finally.
It's like a dream come true. I'm 60 years old, and I am having more fun than I've ever had in my entire life. Going to book signings and having readings and just the promotion part of it has been fun. I'm not going to make any money on this book because I'm spending too much on promotion.
On promoting, yeah. That's kind of how it is, really, for the first book, I think.
Right. I'm trying to get my name out there.
Yeah.
In L. Snowden. And maybe by the time the second book gets published, then people will be more familiar with that name and buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started a second book called In the Shadow of Sin, The Confessions of a Sex Addict. It's a coming-of-age story.
Okay, so you're already... So you've got some common themes here with In and Out of Madness and your second book talking about sex addiction, and, you know, it's a lot of deep psychological issues you tackle in your writing. So is this going to be a trend for you?
Yes and no. The first two, I have three books in mind, and the characters in the first book are going to be characters in the second and the third book. But the third book is going to be the child as a grandmother grown up in the year 2055 with Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
And it's going to be a make-believe family tree. And I had more fun starting this. Of course, I haven't written it all. But making up believable things that we might have in our houses in 2055.
Mm, I bet. So this
makes life even easier.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. We need that. Well, so this is actually starting as somewhat of a true account, a fictionalized true account, but then clearly it's going to branch off into pure fiction.
Pure fiction, that's right.
I see. Okay. Well, how exciting. So tell us a little bit about how your writing career progressed into actually writing a novel and taking off into, you know, almost a full-fledged writing career.
Well, I started small. I had some friends in New York City, and they connected me with New York City Voices, and I started doing some articles on mental illness. Now, I didn't get paid. Then I started doing some articles down here for the Baldwin County paper, and I got my first paid assignment. I then started doing book reviews for the Alabama Writers Forum. I get paid for that. I did free articles for the E-Zine, Free Fall, and they did the short story. So I'm gradually coming up to from non-paying jobs to paying jobs. But I'm retired. So I have the luxury of not making much money and, you know, being financially secure. And I also work part-time at Cracker Barrel as a greeter just to give me something to do to get out of the house. And 'cause as a writer, we tend to be somewhat lonely and stay away from people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you tend to isolate, introverted,
yeah.
And you isolate. Sure, that's a part of that creative gene.
Right. And then it's so funny because to be a greeter, I have to be extremely extroverted. But then that's part of being bipolar.
Yeah. So tell us about the bipolar and the similarities that you may have to your character in this novel, Lee.
All right. Lee is bipolar and I am bipolar, and anything in the book that deals with bipolar is true.
Mm, you've experienced.
I want this book to entertain, but I want it to also educate, because I think people will go to the fiction department and they might find that when I was diagnosed as bipolar, all they say is euphoric highs and extremely low depression. And they don't tell you all these little nuances that you do as a bipolar person that you wonder about. Like, for instance, we get this focus on something, and it's like a record going around and around, and we can't stop that focus. It's almost a compulsion until we're medicated correctly, and then it stops that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear that from the doctor. You just experience that. But you'll read about some of that in the book. You'll actually, in the book, there will be Lee going through this stage of being on a focus with the conversation with her husband, and you will actually experience it as the reader, how she just will not get off this topic. You know, you will actually experience being inside the head of a bipolar person.
Hmm. That's so interesting, and having, you know, your own experience, you could be adding a lot of reality to this character and to this issue.
Yes, it really is. It's very entertaining, because the gist of the book is this bipolar woman who also suffers from multiple personality, which that's fiction, but it juices it up a little bit.
Sure.
And she catches her sex addict husband cheating one too many times by hacking into his email, and they separate, but she decides no one can have him but her, but she doesn't want him anymore. She decides she's going to plan the perfect murder because she's bipolar. She can take a medicine where she can actually do something and have zero memory of doing it. So I take the reader right up to the climax where she's just waiting till she lures him back to the house to kill him. And in that five-hour period while she waits for him to get off work, things in the house trigger her memory of her life. And this goes into different scenes, like when she was a child and with her first husband and with the second husband. And the book is pretty juicy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it sounds at the same time like it's almost putting pieces of a puzzle together.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
With a lot of suspense and a big ending.
And a big ending. Big ending. In fact, I tell people, and they can't believe this, I said, I wrote the book. I know how it's going to end. But every time I get to the climax of the book, my heart is beating so fast that I have to, like, put it down and calm down to finish reading the book.
That's funny. So the ending wasn't something that you experienced in your own life.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, you refer to this book as an R-rated book. How so?
Well, because there's some cursing and there are some sex scenes. They're not pornographic or real graphic sex scenes, but they are, you know, you can't be talking about a sex addict and you can't be talking about a bipolar woman going through a promiscuous stage when she's manic without having sex scenes. And one thing is, like I say, sex is a theme in this book, but there's only like two sex scenes in this book.
Okay.
Yes. But I would not recommend anyone under 18 reading it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it is definitely an R-rated?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Well, that's really good to know. And so I'm interested more to the research factor that you may have had to encounter for this book. I mean, did you pretty much already know the ins and outs of your character and the process and all of that? Have you gone through your own recovery process?
I've gone through my own recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of research on sexual addiction. I read tons of books about multiple personality. I've read books on bipolar so that, you know, the experience is more universal than my own personal experience. So people with other nuances can also identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what took so long, was really doing a lot of reading for the research end of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the theme of sex being so big in this book, what can you tell us about sex addiction that maybe a general audience may not know? Because this really isn't something that is talked about very frequently, but it is rampant in our society.
Right, it's really misnamed.
Mm.
The sex addict is addicted to his own brain chemical, dopamine, which is the falling in love chemical, the infatuation chemical. He is constantly, or she is constantly looking for someone to set him up on that pedestal, like when you first fall in love, and never take you down. And as soon as it gets real, then they're on to another conquest, someone else to put them up on that pedestal and make that dopamine, that infatuation, that feeling of I'm in love.
Mm.
And then sex is just one of the byproducts of this. It's more power than sex itself. It's looking for, there's a woman, can I get her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get her to fall in love with me? That's more the gist of it than can I take her to bed.
Mm.
It's can I get her to fall in love with me.
That's interesting.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with N.L. Snowden, also known as Dolores Jordan. Her new book, In and Out of Madness, is on shelves now, and you can find out more at inandoutofmadness.net. That's interesting that it's really about brain chemistry.
Yes, very much so.
And so are you really portraying that in this novel, in the storyline?
Yes, I am. And I go in more detail in the second book, which really is showing the unfolding of the making of a sex addict from a child to a man. But the Lee has to deal with her sex addict husband, and the reader gets to understand some of the things he does because he is a sex addict.
Mm. And what is it that's in Lee's personality that attracts her to someone like that?
She was emotionally abandoned, and that's chapter 2, by her own mother.
Mm.
And so she's in a way similar. She's looking for love. And one thing sex addicts are great at is they're very attentive and gentle and loving and caring and kind and romantic. I mean, they are a woman's man.
Mm.
They're not jocks. I mean, and they are the kind of man that every woman dreams of. And they, you know, they just flower with language and I love you and send you cards and roses and the whole nine yards. And the sex addict in the book did this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he would be cheating on Lee. But he would be telling her the whole time how much he loved her, and he never loved anyone until he met her, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
He discovers through hacking into his email that he's telling other women the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I'm so curious. I have not read the book, but I'm very curious as to whether Lee actually goes through with the perfect murder.
Mm-hmm. I want you to be curious.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know. And that's where the big, big ending, I'm sure, comes into play.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't a depressing book, though, is it, Dee? I mean, you had a lot of humor in it as well.
It's got dark moments, it's got humorous moments, it's got moments where Lee outfoxes one of Joe's mistresses, and, you know, Lee, when she finally catches on, but then there's also moments where the reader just thinks Lee is the dumbest, most gullible, stupid. Why can't she see what's going on? The reader knows, but Lee doesn't get it,
mm-hmm.
you know, until later on.
Mm-hmm.
But the reader knows in advance that Joe's pulling one on her.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee is just, if Joe says, you know, I was being blackmailed, that's why I had $700, which actually he was using to buy a gift for one of his women. You know, she believes he was being blackmailed. How gullible is that? I mean, you know.
What's the response been from readers to Lee's character?
I have gotten nothing but really, really good reviews. Everybody that's read the book, you know, they say they can't put it down, that it's a page turner, and they have mixed feelings for Lee because at times they feel sorry for her. At times they're like, yeah, Lee, you go, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And at times they're like, Lee, open your stupid eyes.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look, you know.
What are you thinking?
Yeah. So there's this book elicits a lot of emotion from the reader. I mean, this is probably its strongest point. In fact, I've had many people read it twice, and they tell me that the first time they're reading it, it's plot-driven. They read it the second time, and then they really get into some literary nuances that they just didn't even see in the first reading, and they said they enjoyed it much better the second time they read the book.
Well, that's fantastic if people are reading it twice. I mean, that means there's some good writing in there.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I worked hard, and I went to conferences, and I'm in critique groups, and I went to a writing class, and I've worked really hard to make this book a tight book.
Well, how important do you feel writers groups and peer support really is to an author, you know, just as they're starting to publish books?
I think they are invaluable.
Really?
That if nothing else, you have to write to get something out there every other week. You know, you've got to do something. Second of all, you got to toughen your skin up anyway, because when you start getting all those rejection slips, and some of them are, they take a page and have like five rejections, form rejections on a page, and you get a little thing that's maybe 3 inches long by, you know, 8 inches wide. I mean, they don't even give you a full sheet of paper for the rejection slip. I mean, that's how cheesy they are.
Yeah.
So, and when you get a personal rejection, the etiquette in the writing world is you write that agent or that publisher a thank you note for giving you a personal rejection.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, because that means they actually read the book or read part of it. Because most of the form rejections, you own a slush pile on it, and they never looked at your work.
Yeah, right.
But, yes, a critique group is very, very important. It'll catch things in your work, like inconsistencies with your character. Like, you'll have your character do something, and your critique group will say, no, Lee never would do that. No, that's not something she would do or say. And you think about it, at first it kind of makes you mad. You know, you go, you don't know my character, I do, you know. But when you think about it, they're absolutely right. They've caught one of your characterizations, and that your character has done something totally out of character, and not totally out of character in a good kind of way, but in a stupid kind of way, you know. So I highly recommend critique groups, and I highly recommend going to writing conferences, because that's where you network and meet people in the writing industry. And like I've got Cassandra King did one of my blurbs. The winner of the 2007 Harper Lee Award, William Cobb, did a blurb for me. I've got some really big people that did book blurbs for me. And that was from going to writing conferences and meeting them and seeing them year after year and developing a personal relationship with them.
So do you suggest starting that in your general area, or basically diving in and going to some of the biggies like New York Book Expo?
I would, here again, start little and work your way up to something bigger and that got more New York agents and publishers and things in it. But, you know, start out small, because you're going to be overwhelmed when you go to your first writing conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you're also going to come home and write like crazy, too.
I bet.
You know, because you're going to be very stimulated.
Clear your schedule when you get back.
Yes. And you know, well, I'll give you an example. Cherry Wiener of New York City is a well-known agent. And she would give me critiques of my first chapter, and she would just rip me a new one. I mean, tear me up, tell me how awful it was. So I finally did one, and I went to the conference, and I said, she's really going to like this one. Boy, she really let me have it. But everything she told me when I got home, I listened to it, and I thought about it. And I totally rewrote my first chapter.
Wow.
and it made all the difference in the world in the book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you can get your book, your first chapter evaluated by these big New York agents or these big publishing houses, you know, they're not going to handle you with kid gloves. They're going to just, you know, let you have it because they're tired. They're going to see 20 or 30 people per day. So, you know, as a school teacher, we would always compliment first, then you critique. Well, they don't always do that.
They don't have time for that, do they?
Right. And they get right down to the nitty-gritty of how awful your writing is.
I'm glad you can laugh about it now.
Oh, I can, and I'm going to go through the same process with this second book, you know, just, mm-hmm. and what's so funny about all this is I used to be overly sensitive. You know, I would get my feelings hurt just over nothing, and now I think I've got the thickest skin of anybody in the world. I mean, nothing bothers me now. I mean, people can say something about me, and it just flows right over me, and just, you know, I don't take it seriously because you just learn you don't take anything seriously when you're dealing with these rejections. You just keep on keeping on.
Good
and
point.
My favorite saying is the only difference between a writer and an author is perseverance.
Mm.
Is you've got to keep on keeping on no matter how bad and bleak it looks. Mm. You got to just pick yourself up and listen to what the critique group said or the evaluator. And sometimes you have to get rid of your babies or your darlings, these things you write that you think are so wonderful. And they are good writing, but they just don't go with the story. You know, so you have to get rid of them. And that's the hardest thing is when you write this really good line, and it's, you know, you go, man, I can't believe I wrote that. And then your evaluator says, this just doesn't go. This has just got to come out of here. And, you know, you gotta cut it. And it's called getting rid of your babies.
Yeah, oh, God. That just sounds so difficult. But it's so necessary. Those are great, great words of advice, Dee, really.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But it's just, my advice out there to anybody that wants to be a writer is, number one, you got to be dedicated. And I consider writing more than just sitting at your computer. I consider if you're reading a book about being a better writer, that's writing. If you're going to a critique group or reading critique work or having your work critiqued, that's writing. If you're making business cards to hand out and promote your book, that's writing. If you're sitting at the computer actually typing away a scene or a chapter, that's writing. But you do something every day that has something to do with writing. And that just keeps you, that's that perseverance and that dedication. I'm not one of these people that says you get on your computer and there's the blank page and you make yourself write some words. I don't go by that at all. My muse whispers in my ear, and I may knock out 20,000 words in one sitting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I may not write for another week or so, you know, because the muse just closes up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I start doing the other stuff, you know. I'll do something that's related to writing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great advice. Fantastic. And you've learned through experience.
I've learned through experience. Mm-hmm. I've been through the school of hard knocks.
Yes. You have it. So book one just came out very recently this year. When do you think we'll see the second?
I think I've learned enough about writing that I can have it ready in 2 years.
Okay.
I had it in first person, and I'm changing it. I've written 44 chapters, but I'm changing it to third person. And this is pretty tedious because it's really hard to catch every single me, my, I, us, we,
mm-hmm.
change it to the third person. And as I'm going through, I'm also doing some editing because I'm on my first draft, and I'll notice it's like really sloppy, and I'll tighten it up a little bit. So, but I think I've learned enough about writing that I can get a tight copy out in 2 years rather than 5 years.
Yes. Fantastic.
Because I do a lot of, I do the articles and things, so I don't really have time to work just exclusively on the book.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you're going to be promoting and dealing with this first one for a while, so, and it's getting such great reviews, as we mentioned, In and Out of Madness. And, you know, our time is kind of coming to an end here, Dee, but I just want to congratulate you on such a successful career so far and great reviews with In and Out of Madness. And, you know, knowing that this story was loosely based on your own life, I mean, really, kudos to you for getting through your own personal journey as well. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, you're a real inspiration. So I really appreciate you coming onto the show today to talk with us, and I hope we get a chance to do it again.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dee, and take care.
Okay, you too.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, listeners, that's been Dolores Jordan. That's her real name, pen name on the book, N.L. Snowden, and that will be the name that she uses for all of her novel writing. Her latest book, In and Out of Madness, it's her first novel and a fantastic, fantastic first novel, too. You can find out more about it at inandoutofmadness.net. And also the publishing company, their website is sneakaboardpress.com. So much for tuning in to this very interesting interview today, and I am Juanita Watson. This is Inside Scoop Live, and until next time.